Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, May 12th, 2012. It is 2 p.m. and the City Council will...
It's 2010, not 2012.
Sorry, 2010. It's May 12th, 2010. It is 2 p.m. and the City Council will come back from recess. Carly, can you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. We have a 2 o'clock time certain. And Carla, can you please read the title for item number 656?
Accept conceptual design report for Portland-Milwaukee light rail project and provide jurisdictional findings.
So I'm pleased today to submit for council consideration the conceptual design report for the Portland-Milwaukee light rail project. This project is important to our region. It creates, it completes another leg of the south end of the regional rail network. It is also very important to the city. Our $30 million investment in this project will further Portland's goals around mobility, the environment, sustainability, fiscal responsibility, and jobs. Today, we've reached a project milestone. The conceptual design report is before us. 30% design is now complete, and we are poised to obtain the necessary federal approvals and funds to start final engineering. 2 years ago, when the project approved the locally preferred alternative alignment for the project, we asked TriMet and city staff to look critically at some of the design issues. Since then, we've discussed our interest in the quiet zone design and elements of the new Willamette River Bridge here at Council. Today, we'll hear about progress that has been made on the issues identified by the council as important to the city. My colleagues and I will highlight some items to take action on during final engineering, and we'll be asking for a report back on these tasks prior to the start of the construction. Before we begin today's presentation, however, I want to take a moment to acknowledge a frequent visitor to these chambers. As you all know, Fred Hansen will be leaving TriMet after 37 years as general manager, 11 years as general manager, but I think there is like general manager years, you know, like dog and cat years. And it's today's council action is a fitting place to reflect on your enduring legacy, Fred. That you will leave on Portland. You've been a strong visionary leader, and you leave this region phenomenally in better shape than you found it. And hopefully you won't go far. So I'm you can come forward if you want. Go ahead. So because of your support for many modes, numerous modes. I'm sure you'll get a number of these lifetime passes, but this is a lifetime pass, no, not on the aerial tram, but on the streetcar. So we're happy to give you a lifetime pass on the streetcar. Congratulations. And I'm pleased to read the following proclamation. It's long, so you might want to sit down. After serving at the helm of TriMet for 11 and a half years, General Manager Fred Hansen is going to leave an enduring legacy for the agency, the city, and the region. And whereas during his tenure, transit ridership has surpassed the 101 million rides a year as the transit system has grown and is now seventh per capita in the nation. And whereas TriMet opened the first commuter rail line and 3 light rail lines, as well as along the way in the plant and as well along the way in the planning and design of the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project. And whereas TriMet grew from 4 to 16 frequent bus service lines, and whereas TriMet developed the award-winning DBE program, significantly expanding inclusive contracting and workforce opportunities, and whereas sustainable transit operations and construction practices became a guiding principle of the agency, and whereas TriMet dramatically improved the customer experience with new signage, better buses, bus tracker, and award-winning website, and whereas during his tenure, the agency has built strong and effective partnerships with the City of Portland, other cities, regional governments, and all communities, and whereas the region has gained national distinction for creating livable communities, now therefore I, Sam Adams, mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, the city of roses, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, May 12, 2010, to be Fred Hansen Day in Portland and invite all residents to join in honoring the work of Fred Hansen. Thank you.
Thank you. I am honored. And it's, as I think all of us know, it's great to be able to lead an organization and to be able to have a lot of accomplishments, but those accomplishments are able to be done only because of a lot of other people. Certainly, first and foremost, the team at TriMet, who I am very, very proud of and proud to have been a part of. Second is the partnerships that we have with, obviously, right here, the city of Portland, probably our key partnership, but throughout the whole of the region to be able to accomplish what we do. So I am honored, and I thank you very, very much.
And you, are you making remarks now about this project, or do you come later, or you're not talking at all?
I am prepared to make comments about this, but I think it's when you have the first panel, as I understand it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You can become part of the first panel.
Oh, okay.
Let's make it happen.
Not even.
So this is a quick overview of the project, the design considerations of the project. Is that right?
Yep. Yes, it is. And we'd actually like to start with Fred.
I will. I will be brief, but it is an opportunity to be able to say again, once again, thanks for the opportunity to be able to speak on Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail. This is the fifth project that really has come about because of the partnerships with the city. Mr. Mayor, you noted the three most recent, but if you think also about the Manfield and certainly the west side, it has been obviously very key, the partnership with the city of Portland. It's those partnerships that really do make us come together. And by the way, it is one of the things that if you think about it from the standpoint of the national level, it's a sets of partnerships that are very different from other places. It tends not to be the kind of community approach that we have here. In fact, if you think much about how transit is done in other parts of the world, parts of the country, I should say, it really is a utility. It provides a method of transport from point A to point B. Here, we really think of our system as being a part of a community asset, a part of what makes and defines this very region. In fact, I've always maintained that it's a part of what the signature of the Greater Portland region is. This project has lots of opportunities. First, it can't help but in this economy realize how good of an investment it is from a job standpoint. We are expecting that this project will create 12,000 jobs and generate nearly $500 million in personal earnings, something that we wish we could begin construction immediately. Obviously, that's not something that is allowed for under the federal process, but there's that kind of jumpstart to the economy that I think we'd all welcome if it could even happen earlier. It also, and we've mentioned this before, and I think that Commissioner Saltzman has particularly been focused on this, and that is if you think about the leverage the City of Portland's investment makes in this project really is surprising. For every $1 of the City of Portland's contribution to this project, leverages $47 from local, state, and federal sources. And pretty good payback in terms of that investment. And each of us who are participating financially in this project can see some of those same multipliers. We completed the first major step in the process on March 31st, that is the completing of what's called preliminary engineering. These are terms that are within the Federal Transit Administration and hoops and approvals that must be gotten to be able to be moving on to the next step. We have submitted our application to the Federal Transit Administration for final design. That we hope will come next October, allowing us to be able to enter into what is the formal contract, the formal full funding grant agreement, and literally be starting construction at the beginning of the FISH window, that is July 1st of next year. That allows us then to be able to stay on the on schedule to be able to open in 2015. Part of the reason why it's so important to be able to make that fish window is, as you know, you can only be in water activity at certain times of the year. And if we, in fact, miss this fish window, it sets off a whole year additional delay in the project. And that means about $60-plus million of extra costs. And so it is going to be obviously very important. I will be, along with Neil McFarland, our new general manager, who will be taking over on July 1st. He and I will be in Washington, D.C. next week, meeting with Peter Rogoff, the administrator of the Federal Transit Administration, with the hopes of continuing to be able to make the application progress that we need so critically to be able to be staying on schedule. With that, I would just say thank you again for your continued support. Appreciate the efforts, obviously, as we start going through the conceptual design report and others. There are going to be continual refinements, but to be able to see, I think, the progress we've made today has been amazing, and to particularly look at something like the bridge, the initial design on the bridge, the work that former Mayor Vera Katz did as chairing of that effort, to be able to see that we will have 14-foot wide pedestrian and bicycle pathways on each side of the bridge, a series of other improvements, and to be able to see it as a bridge that will carry light rail, streetcar, buses, pedestrians, and bicycles, and nothing more, I think will be a very real and important signature for the greater Portland area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Teresa Boyle with the City's Bureau of Transportation, and with me is Art Pierce. We'll be chatting with you briefly about the conceptual design report itself, and then there's some public testimony involved, and we know you may have questions as well. So first, the preamble is, what is a conceptual design report, a CDR, and why do we have one? The use of a conceptual design report is a tool to capture the design and basically is a narrative of a light rail project. It's something that we have done for all of our light rail lines, and it's a way to inform the public and to capture in one place decisions that have been made about design elements, things that aren't necessarily very easy to glean from a set of engineering plans. So when the council adopted the locally preferred alternative for this project in 2008, you had a list of issues for...
Is there something you want us to be looking at?
You know, I can see a PowerPoint presentation.
We have a blue screen.
We'll fix that. But I can talk in the meantime because it was a simple graphic that simply said that when we adopted the locally preferred alternative.
Does that do it?
There you go.
Got it? Great. You requested that the project in the development of the 30% plans look at a number of issues, look at some opportunities, and prepare a report, this report, and asked that TriMet come back to the Planning Commission, come to the Design Commission, come to the PDC board, and come to the council with the report. So what I have in hand, and what many have seen throughout town, is the conceptual design report for the project. So we've been hard at work. It's been about, I think we had about a 13-month time for preliminary engineering for an alignment that is longer than Interstate Avenues was, and for Portland in particular represents some unique challenges because unlike Interstate Avenue or unlike the mall where we are in an already built environment, this project cuts a swath through portions of downtown that are either emerging development, like in South Waterfront, or it's adjacent to heavy rail through much of Southeast Portland, and it's presented some really interesting challenges for us. It is a very different project. I think we are all, speaking for our project team, certainly we are really happy with the work that's been done to date on the project, and TriMet's gone really quite a long way to address the concerns that you had raised. And so we're here to report briefly on each one of the station areas within the Portland area. And so we can do that now.
Some I'm going to talk briefly about the some of the segments. So we've divided, and with TriMet have divided the light rail alignment into a series of segments of the line and stations of the line that have similar characters. So the first area heading out from PSU is now being thought of as Portland's innovation quadrant. And so there's some kind of key notable areas within that that I'll quickly walk you through. So in the sort of PSU and Southwest Lincoln area, that area is also emerging and sort of we're becoming more and more cognizant of the fact that it's the Halperin District. And so one of the key considerations there is how to integrate the light rail design into the Halperin District's character and design.
Just made Randy Gregg's day.
I did, and he's here, so yeah.
For your benefit. And
also another key part of this part of the alignment is the Harbor Drive structure. So as the light rail leaves the leaves Lincoln Street and heads down to South Waterfront, it's on a structure through that area, and that will be a significant and pretty visible introduction into the landscape. And so we want to make sure, and heard a lot of comments both from Design Commission and Planning Commission about making sure we get that design right. So that's another key element there. In the next area, which is the South Waterfront area, which I know you all are pretty familiar with, this is really very significant to the North District of South Waterfront and really making that district really go and really work. So for both for OHSU and Zidell, who I think there's representatives from today, it's very significant to their future plans in this area. One of the key city deliverables on that is the reconstruction of Moody Avenue, and we were successful in getting $23 million of Tiger grant funding to go towards that, and we'll be starting construction later this year on that project. So that's really an exciting step. Another key part, both here on the South Waterfront as well as on the other side of the river, is that the new bridge and the introduction of light rail creates a great opportunity for us to further the streetcar loop and the streetcar connection. So that's another key element, both in South Waterfront and on the other side. And then another key element is the connections of the bridge to both the planned greenway on the west side and also the existing greenway on the east side. So the character of the greenway, what to build now versus what to plan for in the future, and then also how to connect to the bridge to those greenways is a very key part of our conversations as well. So the bridge, which I know we've had separate discussions, specific discussions on, and Fred just acknowledged that is going to be a very key new element within Portland's landscape. We really are encouraged by the design that has come out of the process that was chaired by Mayor Katz, and I do think that we're making great progress on that. And in particular, I think there's certainly from the bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee's perspectives, the agreement to go ahead with a 14-foot wide path is really a great achievement in terms of something this project is offering. One of the key parts of the conversation as well is the mitigation required based on the impact of the introduction of the bridge to the river. And so our environmental bureaus are very actively involved in discussing that mitigation and making sure that it's directed into the best place possible. And so I think that conversation is going well, but is definitely a key part of the effort here. Lastly, for my section is related to OMSI. So a lot of conversations going on with both OMSI and Portland Opera related to their future expansion and development of their sites. And then the sort of continued commitment from a whole number of parties to see Water Avenue relocated to the sort of the edge of the of the district to allow for a better development right adjacent to OMSI and Opera. And so that's something that we haven't figured out all the answers to that, but that's really a key element as well.
Can I ask a question off this slide?
Yeah.
So you have where it says number 5, which I,
yes,
even with my bad eyesight, I think I can read this. That's coordinating with the future development of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation Rail Museum.
Correct. Yeah.
So when we talk about integrating that exciting development, which, as people may know, the city has given them a substantial loan out of an SDC fund to create the future home of a couple of historic locomotives, what does it mean to successfully integrate that project into this development? What are the pieces that we're looking at?
I think one of the key elements is Water Avenue. By giving a street frontage adjacent to the future Wharf development, that really does help to create a better place for that. TriMet's working very, very hard to create a site that will work for Wharf's future needs. And so that's part of what's being worked on is how to assemble the various pieces of property that are in that area located beneath the 5 there to create that. And create really good connections to the light rail station and to also to adjacent areas where there might be parking and the like.
I'd add only one thing, Commissioner Fish, and that is the challenge is also with the UP line, how to be able to accommodate where the museum will be in relationship to both light rail, but also that UP line and making sure that the properties line up. So it's been a puzzle that I think all the pieces are about put together, at least conceptually.
And so thank you. And I, you know, as the commissioner in charge of parks, we have a continuing interest in following that piece and being as helpful as we can to successfully relocate them to that site.
Great. Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Maybe one other, are you presenting more? In terms of that particular site, the Active Transportation Commission that Jonathan Nicholas chairs and looking at, in fact, as recently as a discussion yesterday, really about how to be able to make this the work in this area really be something that is, in his words, iconic. Is an opportunity I think that we are still wanting to be able to see as we go through final design, through the final design process. I think those are still challenges that are out there for that. But I think that the opportunities are great if you really think about that space being so close to the water, close to the Esplanade, and how does it all really connect in a way that is very, very attractive for, both for pedestrian and for bicyclists along what would be a fairly heavy industrial area.
And that's before we've even gotten to the planning for bringing the highway down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, next earthquake.
One step at a time.
One thing at a time.
The earthquake, thank you, in lieu of the federal funding, yeah.
All right, well, moving along from there, once we leave the OMSI station as the alignment heads east, it begins its adjacency to the UP mainline. And our first grouping of stations to the east are Clinton, Rhine, and Holgate. Rhine and Holgate are along Southeast 17th. Clinton is adjacent to Southeast 12th. One of the concerns that we had heard quite early on, and a concern actually that the council had expressed, is with regards to desire to achieve a quiet zone in that area. Residents of the neighborhoods there have long been plagued with train horn noise. And because of the gated nature of the crossings along that portion of the alignment, there will be more frequent bells, or there would be more frequent bells. So TriMet's undertaken a significant amount of design work to, especially in the vicinity of Clinton, where the crossings are, to design the crossings in such a way that we are feeling quite good about our ability to achieve quiet zone. How this will work is when we have 60% plans, that will be the point at which we can trigger a request to the federal government to evaluate and approve quiet zone for us. And the intent and the schedule will be to have the quiet zones in place by the time we open.
May I ask, Fred, there's number three here, it has to do with art installation. And a project like this with so many different funding sources, what percent do you allocate for art as a percentage of the overall or just in terms of raw dollars?
Overall, it's 1% of the construction part of the project, not the vehicle purchase, for example, or other land acquisition, but 1%. It will mean a significant budget to be able to achieve what we think really will be really signature artwork.
And so at Clinton, you noted the art as an opportunity down kind of in the challenges portion. One of the things that we are hopeful that art can do is the station itself is set back a little bit from Southeast 12th Avenue due to some of the requirements for the track. And so we will be looking for ways to make the sense of that station more visible to people from the area. Call out that the station's there, and art can be a way to contribute with that. One of the other things that has come up for the Clinton station is a desire for stronger connections, more direct connections for pedestrians and cyclists between the Clinton station and the river. And so this is something that we have done some work on in preliminary engineering, and we would like to continue those conversations during final engineering. There's also a question about a pedestrian overcrossing at the Clinton station over the freight rail tracks to the east of 12th and where that will line up.
So the other thing to mention at Clinton, true of Ryan and Holgate as well, is that we are very hopeful of achieving a grant to do some station area planning and hopefully starting that this fall so we can address some of the larger questions about the zoning, the connectivity, and make sure that these areas are as well planned, if you will, as possible to support the stations coming in. The next station up is Southeast Rhine. Rhine is located to the south of Powell Boulevard. It's adjacent to the PGE site. So once you reach 17th, Brooklyn neighborhood is on the west of the trackway and industrial, an industrial zone that encompasses PGE, TriMet, and ultimately Brooklyn Yards is on the east side. And here, one of the keys is looking at the replacement of the existing pedestrian structure that the UP currently owns that is a crossing over their tracks. The light rail project will be replacing that crossing and helping enhance and connect people from the Fred Meyer's headquarters, Cleveland High School, and that area over into using transit. The next station on 17th is Southeast Tollgate. This station is located adjacent to TriMet's property at 17th and Tollgate. And this is an area where we are very hopeful of getting some of the station area planning efforts to help inform us about changes perhaps that could be made along Tollgate Avenue. There are some redevelopment sites adjacent to Tollgate, and some small properties that are going to remain what currently is existing employee parking on 17th that will be, we need to widen the street somewhat, and so we'll be taking some of that. So there will be some interesting conversations to have about what happens with those lots. This neighborhood has raised questions and concerns about potential for TriMet employees parking in the neighborhood, and so TriMet is looking to do a replacement parking plan. That's kind of part of the conversation here as well.
Do you mind if I ask you about number four?
Let me put on my glasses so I can read it.
Create transit-oriented development on project-owned, underutilized sites. So the city, through its housing policies, is very interested in obviously locating housing near transit sites. That's property that you own?
So that will be, the intent of that is that will be with the property purchases that are happening as part of the project in order to widen the alignment, then trying to turn and look at what could be done with those.
And we, TriMet, will be the purchaser of those properties.
And so, Fred, how would that play out if, as the city, through its Portland plan and its comprehensive plan on housing, so we're looking at making investments, how does it, as a practical matter, how do we do some joint long-range planning for making investments in soft sites like that?
That's what exactly this, the work that's being done right now is beginning to identify. We already are working very closely with the city on being able to identify how can we, in fact, maximize those sites, because it works not only best for transit, it works best for housing. And I think it's particularly exciting to be able to see this federal administration really make those connections even stronger. And so the ability to be able to have the possibility of even other federal grant funds to be able to assist in this, I think, is very real because of the connections between HUD, transportation, and EPA.
And the interesting thing about this particular leg is the degree to which the stops, the higher degree than other legs of light rail, that the stops are surrounded by industrial zoning. And so the opportunity for affordable work and or affordable live work, if we make tweaks to the zoning.
Live work for artists.
Right. We'll want to work very closely with very closely with you and your bureaus.
Without making unnecessary work for people, at the point where you have this mapped out with those opportunity sites, if we could get a briefing at housing so we can begin to look at funding sources, 5-year projections, tweaks to the existing tax abatement programs we have, and other things, to be able to fully weigh in on that, we would welcome that opportunity.
Absolutely. And we've already been in close contact with HAP and others to be able to really try to make this start to make it all kind of come together in a way. I think when we look at Interstate MAX project and even the Green Line, we really do see there's lots of opportunities. I mean, the contractor, the purchaser of the properties, really see those as construction staging areas that get to be turned into something that really is transit oriented for the future. And that opportunity is even multiplied here because of, as Teresa already mentioned, the widening of 17th means we're starting to be able to pick up property that's right next to the Brooklyn neighborhood and really therefore is a perfect setting. So yes, the answer is we would love to be able to work more closely. Although I think a lot's been done already.
Make sure that happens. Our last grouping of stations within the city of Portland limits are considered kind of to be the neighborhood / recreation theme are the properties that are the station areas that are along McLaughlin Boulevard to the south of Brooklyn Yard. There is a potential future station at Southeast Herald, and then a station at Bybee, a station at Tacoma, and at Tacoma there would be a park and ride. And so I don't have a station area slide for Herald itself. To note for Herald, some things need to happen and ripen in that area for Herald to become a fully viable station. And part of what we did in preliminary engineering is start identifying some of the triggers that would make Herald become that viable station, the one that needs to be opened kind of now. One need would be for a connection to the east over toward Reed College, and that seems to be a really important part of the puzzle in order to help attract some of the ridership that's necessary. Focusing on the Bybee station. So at this point, light rail is running underneath the Bybee structure and will be running underneath the Bybee structure. And what that means for Bybee, because there is no immediately adjacent areas for people to park, this is definitely one of those stations where we are relying on people walking to the station, biking to the station, or taking the bus. So when you're looking at those sorts of modes of connection, it becomes absolutely critical that we provide as much connectivity as possible. And therefore, the first, we'll start with the bus mode. We will be widening the Bybee Bridge to provide bus pullouts on both sides of the bridge, and providing that immediate connection down to the station area. This is something that Bybee's a new bridge of ours. It's a beautiful bridge, and we will be spending a lot of time, the project will be spending a lot of time during final engineering looking at continuing the character and the nature of the existing bridge with the widened elements. So there's definitely a design aesthetic involved. Some of the other things that we have heard as part of the outreach that was done for the project and for the conceptual design report are concerns about visibility of the station itself, making sure that the design elements are placed in such a way that people don't feel isolated and that the lighting is strong there. Next is the Tacoma station and the Tacoma Park and Ride. Tacoma is planned for an 800-space park and ride, and this site is somewhat challenging. We have Johnson Creek going through the area and its own requirements for pervious nature. Light rail needs to cut through the site. This is basically where light rail is moving from adjacency near McLaughlin Boulevard and moving to the east to go under the Springwater Corridor, and we're managing to fit a park and ride in there as well. So it's been a challenge in terms of orientation, and some of the feedback that we are getting is that there's a desire for more work and more effort to look further at the park and ride and what it's going to look like and how that site's going to work. TriMet did an evaluation about redevelopment potential on that site, and this is one of those places where the city of Portland's boundary ends at the Springwater Corridor. The most readily apparent redevelopment opportunity is immediately south of there, potentially with the Pendleton Woolen Mills site. That's within the city of Milwaukee. And so we won't be talking about that in particular more today. The last thing I want to mention about Tacoma, because it's been an item of interest, is with the addition of traffic to Tacoma that results from the park and ride, our traffic modeling shows that without some additional traffic signalization on the adjoining roadway, we could have a problem with vehicular backup on the McLaughlin ramps in 2030, which is the sunset of the model year for this project. So the project is proposing to and will be installing a traffic signal at Southeast 32nd on Johnson Creek Boulevard. And that is actually the end of our alignment and the end of our official comments. If you have on the stations, if you have any comments about or questions about those, before we move into some of the feedback, we can take those now. Okay.
So, like any process, but actually mostly that I think it goes important to note that TriMet, in terms of their public involvement, do a remarkable job with involving a wide range of community members, and particularly for the conceptual design report itself, this report made a serious roadshow through all the neighborhood associations, the district coalitions, and various interest groups. And so through that process, we were able to collect a lot of feedback both from the bureaus and from broader community groups. So a couple highlights in terms of that. One of the things that we found pretty universal amongst all bureaus is an interest in the Greenway and those Greenway connections. It's something that is really common to really all the bureaus within the city. And then also found that the environmental mitigation specifically is something that a lot of shared interest within the various bureaus. An interest in seeing the stationary planning move forward on the east side was also a key commonality. Support for the quiet zone and then also pedestrian bike connections, even for bureaus that aren't oriented towards pedestrian bike connections, that really has come out in a lot of commentary. So I think those were some key highlights that jumped out to us as staff during that process. In terms of feedback, as the slide shows, we really did make it to talk to anyone and everyone who would talk to us. And so I do think that we've accomplished pretty good feedback and pretty comprehensive understanding of the community's interest in the project. So I think this is...
Right. Lastly, this won't be the only time you see, at least probably either Art or myself, over the next couple of weeks. We have some upcoming actions. Next up, next week, will be an IGA between PDC and transportation to... This has to do with the $10 million of the city's $30 million share of our project financing. And so that's coming up. We'll have an action that is called Net Rise, and I will come chat with you individually about that and explain it. It's too lengthy and laborious to go through here. I've got a staffing IGA to bring to you, and then we'll be talking about the Darrigold Spur also later on this summer.
So one item we forgot, maybe you can explain it all.
I would love to explain this. So we have been collecting feedback and input, and one of the items that is dated today, the Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee has comments on the conceptual design report. They've already provided much of this feedback informally to TriMet at the last two times that we've met with the committee, and they wanted to formalize those comments and provide them to you. So that's this, and we'll enter that into the record.
So just so that I want to make sure you're done.
Yes.
I'm done.
Just want to make sure that council know and the audience and the viewers that this is the first airing out of these design considerations with the city council. It gives them and others an opportunity to comment, raise issues that need additional work, but they will have the opportunity. This isn't a decision on the final designs. This is the direction, a milepost, not the finish line.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Wanted to make sure everyone knew.
Thank you.
Additional council discussion? Anybody? You?
Just before leaving, let me leave with two comments. We're talking here about something, obviously, that doesn't begin construction until 11, won't open until 15. And yet, I think it's inevitable that people ask during a tough budget time. Certainly, we are facing a reduction in our budget. You are as well. That means service reductions and other things. And the question becomes, you know, why are you looking at this? And the answer, of course, has to be that we have to continue to plan for the future, even in the worst of economic times. Any business, it's their research and development that really provides them the opportunity for their future growth. And in a very similar vein, this is really our research and development type effort that is that planning for putting in place and beginning to be able to move forward. Second, I just want to be sure that it's clear that that dollars being expended on this are the result of a very successful effort that you helped us with, but certainly Olivia Clark of our staff achieving a $250 million lottery-backed bonds from the state to be able to really seed this project. Those are the dollars that are being expended. And from TriMet's standpoint, and I believe probably pretty close from the city standpoint, the actual expenditure of our local funds will not occur until 2012. And so those dollar expenditures are not affecting our current picture in relationship to the budget. It obviously still a tough time for all of us, and we understand that. I wanted to leave you with those two thoughts.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. How many people have signed up?
I have 10 people signed up.
Okay. Thank you, and thanks again for the
I just wanted to, I thought we were going to have a presentation about mitigation planning around the bridge, or was somebody?
So we don't have a planned presentation about the mitigation. TriMet is working right now on a couple of fronts. With regards to the in-water mitigation, TriMet is at this point actively collaborating with Parks Bureau to look at working to assist with the development of the park in the central part of South Waterfront. TriMet's made a number of proposals with regards to the Willamette River in-water mitigation as opposed to some of the mitigation on the other portions of the alignment, and is still in negotiations with NOAA and others about how that's all going to land. I would expect within the next month-ish that we should have a much more solid idea of that. Otherwise, the light rail project is collaborating with parks for work at Westmoreland Park and doing some of the improvements there.
I guess I'm confused because how does working on the South Waterfront Neighborhood Park or Westmoreland Park respond to in-water mitigation? I don't see
a
ready connection there.
I wasn't clear. This is what I get for talking off the top of my head. So there are a couple of different mitigation needs for the project, and that happening over near Westmoreland Park has to do with impacts to Crystal Springs. So that's kind of one bucket of mitigation. The other, with regards to the Willamette River Bridge and the in-water mitigation, is we're holding to a value of trying to find mitigation opportunities that are as close to the source as possible. And TriMet has been negotiating with NOAA on what those may be and had made some proposals to remove piles and do some other things. And it appears that the information we're getting from NOAA, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that they looking toward furthering the development of the park in the central district
Greenway.
Of South Waterfront, the Greenway, excuse me, which involves removal of soils, et cetera, is where they would like to have it head. Sorry,
right.
Wrong word.
Right.
I'm a transportation engineer. I'm sorry.
Dave Unsworth
I need
here
to apologize.
Is.
Yeah.
Dave Unsworth of our staff is here, who's been doing most of that negotiation with NIMFS and others, if you'd like to hear more.
I think that's satisfactory. Thanks.
One last request. I asked Brian Newman to come, and I know from OHSU, and I know he has a commitment at 3 o'clock. Would it be okay if he was first to testify to be able to get him to an
elected
official?
Sure, he was once an elected official. We will accept that.
Right.
Any other one-time elected official?
That's okay.
What a way to clear a room.
Yeah. Mayor Adams, members of the council, Brian Newman, representing OHSU, where I'm the Planning and Development Director. I want to also introduce Toya Fick. Toya is going to be a regular face around City Hall. She's a new member of our government relations team, and so we'll be looking for opportunities to introduce her, and you'll get to know her really well. But this is her first City Council meeting. She just joined us from Washington, D.C., where she worked for an education advocacy group, and before that, Senator Clinton's staff.
Well, welcome.
Well, I just want to offer our support of the project. We've been a longtime partner in it, and we're very happy to see it progress, specifically around a lot of these design issues. I want to specifically thank the city staff, Metro staff, and also TriMet staff for their diligence and hard work. I know that we've had a lot of issues that we as a stakeholder have worked through, and we've worked through them successfully, and we're happy to be here. As you know, that two-thirds of the city's contribution to this project comes from the South Waterfront District in the form of tax increment financing, as well as the TSDC that you adopted. What you may not know is we've contributed an in-kind value. I think that's been assessed at about $15 million, both land as a fee donation for permanent right-of-way for the project, but also about 10 acres that's going to be tied up by TriMet for a little over 4 years for construction staging. So we're coordinating very actively with TriMet as well as PBOT staff on the Moody Street reconstruction. And what's important as it relates to these design issues is it's not just about moving people. It's about shaping growth. It's about building communities. And that's what we're very interested in and engaged in when it comes to the South Waterfront and our new Schnitzer campus. We're working very hard on our very first building on the Schnitzer campus. It's the OUS-OHSU Life Sciences Collaborative Building. So when that first train pulls into the South Waterfront Station in 2015, instead of the doors opening and seeing a big brown field with a parking lot, you'll see a beautiful new building of about 300,000 square feet that's going to house, that's in partnership with PSU and OSU and U of O. It's going to house our first 2 years of medical school, our first 2 years of dental school, the OSU School of Pharmacy, their entire Portland cohort group, as well as the PSU chemistry departments, as well as the their biology programs as well. And so this is truly in the spirit of collaboration, not just between us and the city and all of our other partners. It's partnership with our higher ed partners to bring this facility. And it won't happen without this project. And we're very excited about partnering with the city to make it happen. It's not just about the rail. It's about the community around it. So on the specific design issues, we have nothing to add. We've worked very hard and diligently with the staff, and we're very satisfied with where they're at right now, and we're here just to speak in support of the project.
Anything you'd like to add?
No, you're doing a really great job.
How long have you been in town?
About a month and a half.
Well, you're working with great folks.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
All right, the next three, first three.
Are Randy Craig, Paul Carlson, and Chris Smith.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome.
Greetings.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks. It's a tremendous opportunity, this project, especially in the sort of macro way, but I wanted to bring you down to the sort of fine-grained detail with a particular site at the so-called Halperin District in Lincoln Avenue. My name's Randy Gregg. I'm with the Halperin Landscape Conservancy. We're a group devoted to the preservation and enhancement of the Lawrence Halperin's legacy of plazas. The one everybody knows, Keller, Pettigrove, and Lovejoy fountains, which a lot of people don't know. And then the one that hardly anybody knows and the one that will be right in the sort of pathway of this project, the Source Fountain, which I'll show you a little picture of in case you need a little refamiliarization. It's the little ziggurat brick fountain, yeah, if you want. I think everybody but Amanda has heard my dog and pony show about this. It's these plazas are the first project by the Portland Development Commission, and they're by far the most internationally influential works of architecture in Portland. Landscape architecture changed as a result of them. Despite this being sort of part of the bad old days of urban renewal, I think it's good to remind ourselves that this is probably one of the most successful urban renewal districts in the entire country. I mean, the housing has been maintained and always rented for market rates. It converted beautifully to condominiums there. A lot of urban renewal areas in other American cities did not fare so well. And a lot of the reason I think that this has remained, structurally solid and socially solid is because of these plazas. They're very powerful statements, and they've been, very enchanting to the city, I think, as a whole. But they've also been suffering a sort of number of, you might say kind of death by a thousand cuts through, deferred maintenance, and gradually as some of the sites around them have been redeveloped, the Village at Lovejoy, the Cyan, and then the city's own building, it hasn't always, the details have not always been good. Buildings turning their backs to the plazas, a parking garage on the plaza, historic fabric in the case of the Cyan was torn out, and but for our intervention at the last minute, the Cyan's is it 3 minutes already? Oh, okay, I guess I better hurry up. Anyway, the bottom line is the reconstruction of Lincoln Avenue as a light rail line is a tremendous opportunity because it goes right adjacent to the entry to the fountains, and we hope that a great deal of care will be taken with the finer points of the design to really create a gateway into the Halpern district and into these plazas and
do you have any substantive ideas around that? What doing that would mean?
Well, I think mainly the thing is to kind of keep stuff out of the way. There's a lot of switch boxes and little things like this that can really mess up how something looks. I think there's an opportunity through careful attention to the paving patterns, to the tree plantings, possibly even some of the landscape design to kind of integrate the station, in a way that keeps the historic fabric of the surrounding area around the source fountain, but that also creates a kind of physical invitation into the into what was thought of as a sequence of interconnected spaces. We've been invited to be at the table in an urban design workshop around it, and that's good. But as we all know, there's lots of fingerprints on these projects as they move along, and so I'm here just merely to ask your vigilance in helping us, create the best possible connection between this great new urban project and a great urban project of old.
I think this council is going to be very focused on that, so great. Among others.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your advocacy and your testimony. Hello.
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Carlson. I'm Senior Vice President with the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, OMSI, and I'm delighted to be here to speak to the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project. It is extremely important to our future growth. I think it's incredible to think that OMSI has been at its east side location for almost 20 years now. We've weathered some difficult times over the last 20 years. The flood comes to mind, some financial challenges, but I'm happy to report that financially, OMSI is stronger now than it ever has been in its history. You may know that OMSI purchased 6.5 acres just south of our current location about 5 years ago. And it turned out fortuitously that this would be the nexus of two major transportation projects, the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project and the Streetcar Loop Project. We believe that these two projects in combination are going to be extremely important, not only for the future of OMSI and the educational opportunities that OMSI can bring to the community, but also for the district as a whole. In order to support the growth, and I might just mention that we're looking at adding, over time, approximately 1 million square feet of development on that property. But in order to support that growth, we're counting on a 30% mode split with transit projects. That implies about 1,400 daily visitors to OMSI alone. Two other considerations to support this growth are the need for a new alignment for Water Avenue, which you've heard about earlier in testimony, to ease transit through the area. And the second factor that is important for our growth is additional parking. Parking is already a limiting factor for us and will become more so with growth in the area, even with these transit projects in place. So we are fully supportive of the projects, and we have hosted regular meetings at OMSI for district property owners and construction coordination meetings with the TriMet, the city agencies, and especially the Portland Bureau of Transportation. So we are here to just to express our support for the projects, and we look forward to their completion.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Commissioner.
Mayor, members of council, I'm Chris Smith, appearing here today representing the Planning Commission. And since the Planning Commission transmittal letter also addresses the concerns of the Design Commission, I guess I'm also representing the Design Commission, which is kind of a scary thought. Some of the design issues we wanted to highlight, the Halpern District has been mentioned. I just note that the Halpern District now becomes kind of a linkage between two rail lines, this project on one end and the streetcar on the other. And that's probably an opportunity worth looking at. Also, we would note there is some removal of trees at the station at the Halpern District, and we'd like to see an appropriate address of restoring canopy in that area. At Harbor Drive, there is a rather significant structure that will take the light rail line across Harbor Drive. Anything that can be done in the design to kind of lighten the appearance and the visual impact on that environment would be important. The trail connections on both sides of the river have already been mentioned, particularly at OMSI to the Springwater Corridor is very important. In the Clinton Station area, the station design should recognize the industrial and mixed-use character of that area. Along McLaughlin, we'd like to see the design reinforce the tree-lined boulevard that McLaughlin is and maintain bicycle connectivity through that corridor. At Bybee, I think we have a number of concerns about the fact that we have a split-level station there. There's already been discussion of the challenges of connectivity to that station. We'd love to see some creative address of all those problems together, maybe to produce a unique and helpful solution to that problem.
And if I could pause you there, one of the friendly challenges I've made to the design crew is the potential for live-work on the actual station itself. And if we can solve it for the potential Bybee station, then we can also solve it for solve the isolation issue for 82nd Avenue, Powell, and a whole bunch of other stops on the light rail system.
Yeah, it's a design type we need to understand and have better answers for.
Yep.
And then finally, the design side at Tacoma Station, I think we would echo the thoughts that the layout of the park and ride and that whole station area needs more thought, that we think we can do better, and we're glad to hear that planning will continue. At Planning Commission, we heard testimony on a couple of issues I want to highlight. The first is we heard concern from citizens that it's difficult to understand the funding plan for this project. I mean, big capital transportation projects are always complicated in their funding strategies, but we heard that the funding was somewhat opaque. And we heard a specific concern that I think you may hear in testimony today that TriMet makes its contribution to this project by issuing bonds, which I'm told now will be on the order of $39 million. The revenue sources that TriMet will use to repay those bonds over the next 20 years, about $3.2 million a year, are revenues that are also eligible to be used for operations. So that means we're essentially trading off future transit operations against providing the capital for this project. That's of concern to a lot of people who are suffering from the bus cutbacks and light rail cutbacks right now. We'd love to see other ways to fill that 2% of the budget that didn't have that impact in the future. And then finally, an opportunity. The FTA is pretty radically changing the way it allows bicycle and pedestrian components to be included in transit projects, where they used to just look at a very tight radius around stations. They're now proposing a 3-mile radius around stations. It may be too late to factor that into this project, but we should start our thinking about how we can leverage that as we want to build out our bicycle plan and connect that with transit capital projects. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Next three are Susan Pierce, Linda Nedekoven, and Matt Millenbach.
Hi, welcome back to City Council, I think for all of you. Glad you're here. Ms. Pierce, you're up first.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back.
Hi, I'm Susan Pierce, a member of the Hosford Abernethy Neighborhood Association and the representative from that group to the Light Rail Citizens Advisory Committee. I want to talk about several things that how our neighborhood is affected by this. For the most part, I think we're very excited. Some of the things we're going to be talking about are the quiet zone application. I'm going to touch on that just briefly. Opportunities to improve ped and bike connectivity between the neighborhoods and the river. And